Appreciate that song. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, not Philippians 4, Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. And just going to read a couple verses here out of Philippians 3. If you find your place, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3. And if you'll look in verse number 13, Philippians 3, verse 13. Probably a very familiar verse to most of us this morning. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for letting us be in your house. And Lord, I thank you for letting us be together. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give us that special touch and, Lord, that unction that it takes to preach the word of God. Lord, you know where every one of us is this morning. You know where each heart is. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would tear down every stronghold. And Lord, I pray that you would remove any distraction and any confusion. I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk by faith this morning. Lord, we so desperately need you. Lord, I so desperately need you as we try to preach this morning. I pray that you touch my voice. I pray that you touch our physical body. Pray, Lord, that you would help us most of all spiritually to do your will. Help us, Lord, to say what you'd have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that your people would be fed by the Word of God and that you would help us to leave here different. And, Lord, you would just use us in a mighty way. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm looking here at these verses, and I kind of have some thoughts regarding what Paul is saying here in these verses. Now, these are very familiar verses to all of us. We all know and have read these verses before, but as we look kind of through here, I was thinking about these verses, and what we have kind of in the middle of verse 13 is what would be called a parenthetical statement. In other words, you could remove this statement and the sentence would still have correct sentence structure. And he says that statement, the end of verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That is a parenthetical statement. In other words, you could read the sentence, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so, really, in other words, the ultimate thrust and the ultimate point he's trying to make is that there is a mark, there is something out there that he is pressing towards. And he is single-minded about that. He is single in mind, single in eye, single in heart. He said, "This one thing I do," and the point he's making is the one thing he's doing is pressing toward that mark. And so that mark, we would call it a goal. We would call it something he is aiming at, something he is reaching out towards and pressing towards, not just in an event, but in his life as a whole. He's pressing towards that. And so I want to give us a few thoughts this morning with the Lord's help on setting and reaching goals out of these verses, setting and reaching goals. A goal is the end or final purpose. It is the end to which a person aims to reach or accomplish. And we as God's people, of all people, ought to have goals. We ought to be people that are goal-minded and pressing towards a mark. It really is a shame how I see that so many people in churches and that claim to be Christians seem to have no goals. They seem to be just floating through life with little or no purpose or as little purpose as what just the rest of the world has. I mean, they just kind of go through life. They go through their routine. They get up in the morning and they go to work and they work at their job and they come home and they eat supper and they go to bed and they do it the next day. And it's just kind of like floating through life and the days just passing by. And in the times where I've worked like out secular jobs like many of you do and being around the world and worldly people and lost people, almost everybody's working for the weekend, you know. They work all week and they're just working to get off Friday so that they can party and they can enjoy their life just to go right back to work on Monday. And it's always just working day by day with no real purpose, only just trying to get to Friday to have a quick weekend of fun and excitement just to get back to work again. And you know, that really is a shame, and it really would be a disgrace for that to be the mentality in the life of one of God's children. I believe with all my heart that one of the last things that ought to be said of one of God's people is that they're just working for the weekend, or they're just living for tomorrow, or they're just trying to get through the day, or they have no real purpose. Really, the purpose of the Christian life and the purpose that God gives us in the Christian life really is one of the major things that separates us from the world. Because we've got, first of all, we've got the hope of heaven. We've got something beyond this veil of tears. We're not hopeless like the rest of the world. And then we've got goals and we've got ambitions and we've got things we are striving for and thriving for. And that is the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the kingdom. And so that ought to be, we ought to have a singleness of mind and singleness of heart whenever it comes to our Christian life, that we've got these goals in mind. We've got things in mind. We've read the Bible and we see what God wants to do in our life and what kind of man He wants me to be, or what kind of lady He wants you to be, or what kind of parent He wants you to be, and what kind of home He wants you to have. All those things. And we read those things in the Bible. And so those ought to be our goals, because you're not always going to be those things overnight. You're not going to suddenly suddenly be an all-star godly parent overnight. It is something you are working towards. It's something I am still working towards. You are not necessarily going to be the man of God God wants you to be overnight. I won't necessarily be the pastor that God wants me to be overnight, the Christian God wants me to be overnight. And so we ought to have goals in mind, though, and things that we read, visions of what God wants us to be, that we are working towards and that we are pressing towards. And so Paul certainly had those things. He said, "I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I have read many books on success and self-help books and things like that. And one of the common denominators of great men, men who we would consider successful, at least in the world's eyes, there's a common denominator between many of them, and that is they set, first of all, not just goals, but big goals. And then they have a commitment to reaching those goals. They are singleness of heart and mind in reaching their goals. The sad thing is that the world and great men in the world, they will set big goals and commit to reaching those goals, and it's things that don't matter. It's having their business to be a certain size, or having a certain amount of revenue, or having a certain amount of money, or owning a certain amount of things, or having a certain amount of status, having a certain thing. And those are things that don't matter. That's the sad thing. The difference in them and us as God's people is that we ought to be striving for things that do matter. We ought to be striving for goals that are going to amount to something, that are, as Paul said, that are going to be the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, things that will stand in the judgment and things that will matter and receive rewards in eternity, when most of the world and the success that people see in the world are going to be things that will burn up in the judgment and they will not matter. They won't make it through the fire. But the thing is, we ought to have goals of the right things. Now, I once read that the five elements to a compelling story. I read this interview. They were interviewing somebody with, they were interviewing this writer, this well-known writer. And this writer talked about the five elements of every compelling story. If you're going to write a story and it's going to compel someone and draw somebody and it's going to be an interesting story, there's five elements that are included in all of them. First of all, there's a character. do the story. And that number two, that character wants something. Okay, that's a goal. They have a goal. There's something they're reaching for, pushing toward. Number three, something prevents him or her from getting what he wants. Getting that, reaching that goal. Getting what they want easily. Number four, this character struggles against that force. There is a struggle there. And then number five, you either have success or you have failure. And I thought about how interesting that is. That's the five essentials or five elements to every compelling story. And boy, that sounds just like the Christian life. I mean, we're all characters in the Christian life. We're all characters in the story of our life. But, you know, the interesting thing is that most don't even get past number two. They don't have a goal. Now, they don't have something that they want, something that they're striving for. A lot of people, I mean, they're the character in their life, but they're just floating through. That makes your story a very uncompelling story, by the way. If they were writing your story in a book, it would be very uncompelling if there's not a goal. But here's the thing. If you do have a goal, if you do pray and you seek God and you read your Bible and you ask the Lord to give me, Lord, a vision and a goal, give me things to strive for, show me the family you want me to have and the church you want us to have and show me the man you want me to be, the woman you want me to be, show me what you want me to be. If you get those goals, there will definitely be things that will prevent you to getting them easily. It's called the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's the third element of a compelling story. And if you struggle in that, you know, that struggle against that force, and then you'll see either success or failure. And a lot of people, they've just never considered what God wants out of their life. I've said this one time. I've said it 100 times. I make it a point to ask young people who are in the transition stage in life, graduating school or going through high school or in college or whatever, not what do you want to do with your life, what does God want out of your life? Because that's the most important thing you could ask. Kaylee's about to graduate. And the main thing that ought to be on your mind, the number one, you ought to be fasting and praying over this. Because these are very critical years in your life, critical days in your life. You ought to be fasting and praying, seeking God, trying to find out, God, what do you want out of my life? Because probably all of us could say that we didn't do that whenever we were at that time, and we pretty much made a mess in a lot of ways. I mean, everybody here would say the same thing. We didn't do that, and we wish we would have. We wish we'd have sought God and asked God, Lord, what do you want out of my life? Most people don't. Most people live and die. Never really sat down and thought and prayed over, Lord, what is it you want out of my life? We ought to have goals. We ought to get our goals from God. And so we all should have goals. Individuals, every single one of us should have goals. What kind of person do you want me to be, Lord? All the families represented here, whether your children are still at home or whether they're grown and gone, you should still have goals, you know, as far as what kind of family do you want us to have? Husbands and wives ought to get together and pray about it and talk to the Lord about what kind of family, what do you want us, what do you want our goal to be? What do you want us to strive for, to pursue after as a family? And then churches ought to have goals. What kind of church do you want us to have? And by the way, that's not just up to the pastor either. That's not just something. I mean, God gives a vision and gives things to the pastor. And of course, he's the under-shepherd. You know, the pastor isn't the fearless leader. Jesus is the fearless leader. Amen. But, you know, the Lord certainly speaks to the man of God and gives him messages and things to preach. But it's not just left up to the pastor. Whether the church succeeds or dies is not just the pastor. I mean, we all ought to be seeking God. Lord, what kind of church do you want us to be? I've heard a question before many times that always makes me think. It's always made me think and evaluate myself. And I'm sure it would do the same for all of us. I heard a man ask one time, you know, what kind of church would our church be if everybody in the church was just like you? If every church member, everybody who was part of our church was just as faithful to the services as what you are, how many services a week would the church even have? If everybody was just as committed as you are, how committed would everybody be? If everybody gave just like you gave, how well would the church do in giving? You know, in all these things, how good would the church be? How successful would the church be? How many goals would we reach if everybody was just like me? Well, that's a good question, because we all ought to be asking what kind of church the Lord wants us to have and have goals in mind for that. Now, we ought to have not just goals. We need to make sure that we have the right goals. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was pressing towards the right things. It would really be a shame to push all of our life and run all of our life just to get down to the end to realize we were running the wrong time. And a lot of people are. A lot of people are pursuing things, and they're just running. They're running as hard as they can and pursuing day and night, pursuing for what they believe to be success. And the sad thing is, they're going to get down to the end of their life and going to realize it really meant nothing. They were running the wrong direction the whole time. They were chasing the dollar only to get one more dollar bill. They were chasing, you know, fame and popularity and chasing success and all these things. I mean, a lot of people are chasing and pursuing after good, solid, good careers with good retirements, all those things. And a lot of those people never even see retirement. And even if they do, it still doesn't matter in the eyes of eternity. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, having a good, easy, simple life, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's what we pursue wholeheartedly, boy, it's not going to matter a whole lot in the eyes of God. It's not going to mean a whole lot in the eyes of God. I mean, probably nobody here would love to just, you know, would raise their hand and say, "Oh, Brother Jacob, I'd love to just have a hard life." Well, none of us would say that, not in our flesh anyways. I mean, we desire to have a pretty, you know, good, easy, peaceful, simple life, make a good living, have a good retirement, all those things. But I'm just simply saying there's nothing necessarily wrong with those things in and of themselves. But we have to be reminded that we are here for a totally different purpose as God's people. And if those are the things we pursue single-heartedly, you know what we'll find? Even if we gain all those things, we'll never be fulfilled. They'll never fulfill us. They'll never satisfy us. We'll never truly be happy. We'll never truly be content with those things. We have to make sure we have the right goals and we're not just running in the wrong direction. You say, "Well, how do I know I have right goals? How do I know the things, what I would pursue in life if I was to start pursuing and pressing towards a mark? How would I know that it's the right mark?" Well, first of all, your goal and the mark you pursued towards, it has to be a biblical goal. Has to be a biblical goal. And the way you find it is, first of all, through the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path." You'll never be going down the wrong path, and you'll never be going down the wrong road if the road you're following is led by the Word of God. If the path you're traveling on is led by what you read in the Scriptures, in read and what God gives you through His Word, you'll never go the wrong way and pursue the wrong thing. Can you back up? Can what you're doing right now and the direction your life is going, the direction your family is going, the things that have your zeal and your passion, the things that excite you and stir you up and that you're excited about, the things you live for, can all those things, can you back all those things up with what God says in the Bible? I mean, could you honestly sit down and take chapter and verse and say, "This is why I'm living the life I'm living, because God said this"? Or would the Scriptures actually condemn the direction you're going? That's a good question. That's the litmus test. If I can look in a Bible, look in the mirror of the Word of God, and see that I'm going the right way or the wrong way, that's how you'll know if you've got the right goals. That's how you'll know that once you get to the end of your life and the end of this goal you're pursuing, whether it's going to mean something or not, is it, whether or not it's a biblical goal that you got from the Word of God. But secondly, not just from the Word of God, but also from the Spirit of God. Now, John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "When the Comforter comes, He will guide you or lead you into all truth." Now, you'll never go down the wrong path if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. He'll never lead you wrong. But now, you've always got to check that with the Word of God. A lot of people claim the Holy Spirit told them to do this, that, or the other, or led them here, there, or yonder, whenever it goes contrary to the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. You might get a feeling or an impression, or you might get a thought about doing something or going a certain direction, and you might take that thought and you might look at it in light of the Word of God and it don't line up. Well, it's not the Holy Spirit telling you. It might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because what the Holy Spirit tells you, what the guiding of the Holy Ghost tells you, will always follow, it will always line up with the Word of God. He's not going to tell you to do anything that would go contrary to the Bible. He'll never lead you. The Holy Spirit will never guide you down a path that would lead to a raise and lead to a promotion at church, but it's, or at work, but it's going to take you out of church. It might look really good, and it might seem really good, it might seem great, but it doesn't line up with the Scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? And you can apply that anywhere. You can apply it at any point in life. Anything that would lead you away from the Word of God is not the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it does not line up with the Word of God. It doesn't line up with the Scriptures. And so you'll find biblical goals in the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And a lot of times God will use His man. He'll use the man of God. A pastor is an under-shepherd. That's what he said in 1 Peter 5. He talked about pastors as being under-shepherds, guiding the flock, leading. Hebrews 13:17 says that they watch for your souls. Over in Acts chapter 27, whenever the Apostle Paul was being transported to Rome as a prisoner to stand before Caesar and give an account after he'd been arrested for preaching the gospel, you remember that situation where they're traveling out across there and they set sail and they encounter that storm. They named that storm Euroclydon. Y'all remember that? And as they're going across there, before they even left shore, before they even went sailing that day, Paul stood up and he announced, "This is not a good day for sailing. We don't need to set sail some things." Matter of fact, Paul specifically said, "I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt, you know, to the ship and the contents of the ship, even our very lives," he said, "would be in danger." He said, "I perceive this." But if you go back, you read the story, they asked the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship, the experts, you know. They asked that centurion soldier. They asked what everybody else wanted to do. You know, Paul saying one thing, but they took a vote with everybody else that was on the ship to see what they wanted to do. And the Bible says, when the south wind blew softly. In other words, everybody wanted to set sail. And all the experts were saying it's a good day to set sail. And even the weather, even the south wind was blowing softly, which meant it looks like it's a good day to set sail. The sun is shining, the wind's blowing soft. It looks like it's a great day for sailing. And so what'd they do? Well, they set sail. They didn't listen to God's man, even though there were some things that he perceived. See, they didn't understand it. They thought, well, Paul, he's just off his rocker. He's just an old fogey. He's just an old preacher. And he's just, you know, he's just a nut, you know. I mean, just old nutty Paul, you know. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes, you know, God will give pastors and give preachers, give them some insight and help them to perceive some things about your life and the trajectory that you're on that you may not really see and even understand right now. But God will help His men, give them insight. And sometimes the Lord gives me or any other pastor messages and things to preach that maybe we don't even understand. I've preached some things that I think, Lord, this ain't going to help anybody. Man, nobody's going through this right now. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit will speak and will move, and He'll give you things through messages preached from this pulpit and through the pastor, the man of God. And there was a time when people would go to their pastor a lot to get counsel and to get help and just to bounce things off him to see what he thought about some big move they were about to make in their family or some direction their family or their life was going or something they were thinking about, to get what he thought because they believed in their pastor. And people don't really do that anymore. People just don't care. Or I think some of it is people have already made up in their mind that they know what they want to do and they know what he's going to say is going to go against that, and so they just don't ask. I mean, I don't know. But I'm just simply saying that biblical goals and direction for your life will a lot of times come through God's man. He will help direct you. Now, we know a man, a pastor, is not to lord over anybody. And I don't dictate what any of you do at home. And I don't dictate when you go on vacation. And I don't tell you what you can and can't do and all those things. I mean, there are limits to that. We understand that. But I'm just simply saying that God will help you through your pastor and any other man that would come preach from this pulpit. I mean, we trust men to come that have prayed and sought God for what we need, do we not? And so God does use that. He uses the Word of God. He uses the Spirit of God. And He uses the man of God. And I tell you, I've gotten help and good direction from my life. I've not always done what I should. I'm not always going the direction I should go. But I tell you, whenever I've wanted to do the right thing and go the right way, I've gotten help and good direction from all three of those every time. Every time I've gotten help and good direction. We were down there in South Mississippi thinking about that man of God. Brother Tim Giddens was preaching. I guess it was Thursday morning he was preaching, and he preached a message on the church. And one of the things that he talked about, he talked about pastors and preachers and kind of their gift and all those things and the blessing they are to church and what they should be and what they shouldn't be and all those things. It was a tremendous message. But one thing he said, and that he talked about as a pastor, he said that he actually told his church this. He said, I don't know if I should have or shouldn't have. He said, but I did. And that's, I just said it. So there it is. He said he told his people once, he said it is a real shame. He said as he looked at it all, over all the families in his church and the things in his church, he said it is a real shame. He said that I, as your pastor, are more concerned about the direction that, of your family and that your children are going in than most of you parents are. And boy, that really is a shame. I have seen that so many times that it seems like men of God and pastors are more concerned and agonized with God over the direction that people are going in churches and the direction that kids are going, things like that. It seems like they're more concerned than the people themselves are. And boy, I would to God that would not be anybody's testimony here. Would to God that we'd be concerned about the things we are pursuing after, the things that we're going after, because they're going to mean something or they're not going to mean something when we stand before God. And so we ought to have biblical goals. You ought to have daily goals. You know, Paul said, I die daily. And just preached here not too long ago about time, dealing with our time, about how every day is a gift and how sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. We ought to have daily goals. We ought to spend time with God at the beginning of every day, seeking God's will and His goals for us that day. But then, not only that, we ought to have, you know, bigger goals, more long-term, big-picture goals, too. You ought to have both. We can't just constantly live our life for tomorrow and live our life for next year. It ought to be a daily thing, but we also ought to think about and pray about down the road and next year. You know, Joseph did. Joseph, from what best I can tell, was about 17 years old, just a young man, when God started giving him dreams and visions, things that he would not see come true in his life until way on down the road. I mean, Joseph was just a young boy when God started giving him those dreams and those visions, and then it was years and years and years down the road before he was finally second in command in Egypt, and his brothers were bowing down to him, and his father was bowing down to him, and all the things that God showed him was going to happen in his life, if he was faithful, you know, finally came true. It was years later. And so I'm simply saying we ought to have both. Wisdom would give us both. Wisdom would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me today? But Lord, also, what is your will for me down the road too? What is it that you ultimately want to do with my life? Getting a dream, getting a vision. And so I want to give you about four things very quickly, kind of, I guess, as we close, on how to set and reach your goals. Now, the first two are easy. The last two are hard. First of all, be dissatisfied. It takes dissatisfaction to set goals. If you're satisfied where you are now, and if you're okay with where you are now, well, then you have no reason to pursue a goal, to pursue anything, because you're okay right where you are. But you know what Paul said? If we're gonna follow Paul's example and follow the scriptural example, he said in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, Paul's arguably one of the greatest evangelistic Christians that's ever lived. Arguably one of the greatest missionaries that's ever lived. I mean, we all know the accomplishments of Paul and all the things that God used Paul to do. He was a man who was sold out for the glory of God, a chosen vessel. And at this point in his life, he said, I have not arrived yet. He said, I am not even close to the man that I want to be or ought to be. He said, I count myself not to have apprehended. He said, I have not apprehended what I should be yet. Apprehended makes me think of that leopard. You ever watched Animal Planet? You know, that was like my favorite channel as a kid growing up, you know. Animal Planet. Watching those leopards and those lions chase those helpless little deer, you know. And those little deer like running around trying to get away. And then all at once, out of nowhere, this leopard dives on him and it's apprehended it, you know. And that little helpless deer is just laying there, getting eaten by a leopard, you know. That's intense, exciting stuff to watch, you know. Or that gazelle, you know, comes down to the water. And it's like lapping the water, and you know what's about to happen, man. And out of nowhere, that giant crocodile dives out of that water and grabs him, drags it in, and he's apprehended its prey, you know. Man, I always loved that as a kid. I always loved watching all that stuff. But that's what it conjures up in my mind, the vision of that predator pursuing after that prey and finally getting to the point where it apprehends what it is chasing after. And Paul says, I'm far from it, man. He said, I've got the things God has shown me and revealed to me, the man that I know I'm supposed to be for the glory of God. He said, I am far from apprehending that stuff yet. He said, I've still got a long ways to go before I apprehend and get to the point where I don't have anymore. In other words, Paul was dissatisfied. He's always dissatisfied. And by the way, there's a good degree and a bad degree of dissatisfaction. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain, right? But see, he's dealing with money there. Whenever our dissatisfaction is always about keeping up with the Joneses and keeping up with what everybody else has got and is doing around us, you know, that's when it's a problem. But Paul, he had dissatisfaction, but it was for the work of God's sake, the glory of God. He never got to the place where he was satisfied with how many people he'd preached the gospel to. He was never satisfied with how many churches he had started and how much the gospel had been proclaimed. And I think our problem is our dissatisfaction is put in the wrong place. I think, boy, if you look at most churches today, I mean, it looks like people are pretty satisfied with how much of their community is saved. I mean, if we just be real honest, I mean, because it shows up in the things that we do and don't do. And we're pursuing after, so many people are pursuing after the things of the world, pursuing after that type of success. But, I mean, it seems like whenever we talk about souls being saved and the gospel being preached, it's like, well, I mean, you know, it's like we kind of just assume everybody's heard, you know, and if they want to get saved, they'll get saved, you know. Well, where's that in the Bible? Where's that in the Scripture where it's like, well, once everybody's heard, then just kick back and just wait for everybody to get saved? Find that in the Scripture. The problem is we've got misplaced dissatisfaction. We need to get dissatisfied where we are spiritually. Look back up in verse 12. You just back up. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so again, he's making the point. He said, I've not apprehended, I've not attained. He said, I'm still following after, I'm still following hard, trying, pursuing after being the man that God wants me to be. And so, getting dissatisfied. You know, too many seem to think that they've arrived. You ever tried to help somebody that to them doesn't need help? You can't help somebody that way. It's impossible to help somebody that doesn't need help. Now, they may actually need help. But I'm simply saying that in their mind, as far as when they look around, they don't see that they need any help. that is impossible to help somebody that way. That is and it's impossible for that person to move any further than where they are. We see that in the jail all the time. You know, the guys who I know might actually get some help are the guys who are like, yeah, man, I've messed up bad. I'm in a mess. My life's a mess. I'm a mess, you know. I've messed up, you know. But we've got the other guys. There's one guy particularly in the jail. He told me like the second week we ever went. He said, he's excited about us being and preaching. He said, oh, yeah, I've been in the ministry myself for over 20 years, you know. Thinking, what are you doing in here then? You know? Then you got those guys, and they're excited about you being there, and they're excited about you preaching all that stuff. And they, I mean, as far as they're concerned, they don't need anything. They're the same as you, man. They're right there with you. You know somebody like that, they'll never get any help. But you know, we talk about that in jail, but there's jailhouse religion just like there is church house religion. And churches are full of people that, as far as they're concerned, they don't need any help. They don't need to go any further. We're doing better. I'm doing better than the other people in the church, or we're doing better than the other church down the road or the contemporary work, and we're not that bad. And so as far as we're concerned, I mean, I've kind of arrived. But the truth is, what we need is dissatisfaction. We need to see ourselves as we really are. See ourselves as God sees us, that we might pursue and follow hard after being what God wants us to be. So first of all is to be dissatisfied. Number two is to get direction. Don't just get that dissatisfaction and be dissatisfied, but get direction. Paul said that he was going to forget. That is, choosing to forget, letting go of, not to be influenced by the things that were behind, the things that were in the past. If we always major on the past, and the world and the devil majors on your past, you always hanging on to that stuff, it'll defeat you. Matter of fact, even in a daily sense, if you hang on to the past, if at 10 o'clock you're hanging on to what you didn't do right at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, it's going to defeat you the whole rest of the day. I mean, it's going to defeat you. I mean, if you already know, if this morning you get an altar and you pray, Lord, I need goals. I need to start pursuing after goals. I need to get back on the right track with my goals. And Lord, one of the goals, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get up early and read and pray and seek you and all that, because I know that's what I need to do. Well, tomorrow morning, if you oversleep and you don't get up early enough to read your goal, to read your Bible, no matter what else the Lord's done in your heart, if you hang on to the fact that you didn't do what you're supposed to do that morning, it'll defeat you the whole rest of the day. You'll eventually throw your hands up and you'll say, well, what's the use of doing anything else, because I've not done these things right. Paul said, I'm forgetting what's behind. Listen, starting right now, it doesn't matter how good or bad you've been. We're not blessed of God based on how good or bad we've been. Matter of fact, we don't try to be good and do right to please God anyways. I mean, we couldn't be good enough to please God. We don't do what we do to please God. We are supposed to do what we do because we love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you want to please me. We already know we can't please Him. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. No goodness in us. And if we hang on to the past and what we have done and haven't done, what it'll do is it'll defeat us the whole rest of the day. And then the whole rest of the week. And then the whole rest of the month. The whole rest of the year. The whole rest of our life. If we're not careful, it'll get us defeated. We'll never pursue the goals that God has for us. So stay the course. God has a goal in mind. And get direction from God. Number three, be determined. Paul said, verse 14, I press toward the mark. He's not walking towards the mark. He's like those leopards pursuing those helpless little deer, running as hard and as fast as they can. They are pressing towards it. They are pursuing it. And so, are you pressing or are you just going through the motions? You know, that's the difference in really praying our prayers and just saying our prayers. We can just, you can just say a prayer and just repeat what you know to repeat. Or you can really pray your prayer, and that's pressing towards the mark. That's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That availeth much. Not just saying prayers, but pressing in our prayers. We, you know, you can just read through your Bible, and read a chapter a day or however many you've set as your goal for the day. And by the way, you ought to have a goal in that. You ought to have a goal. Lord, I'm going to read this much of my Bible today. But even if you do that, you can really press toward the mark in that, or you can just read it to get it over with. You can have a goal in how many tracts you're going to give out, and you should have a goal in that. You should, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to give out X amount of tracts. It don't have to be no huge, massive amount. It could be 5 or 10 a day. But I mean, even in that, you know, we can just do these things and go through the motion. You know, we can just come to church and sit and go through the motion so we can get home and get out of here. Or we can press in our worship. We can press in what we're doing. And so that requires determination. Are you pressing or are you just going through the motions? Be determined. Then last of all, be disciplined. Now, this same Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So Paul had these things he was pressing for, but you have to be disciplined in the things you're pressing for. You know, really, ultimately, at the end of the day, what the Christian life and walking with God is, it's a discipline. Because sometimes, a lot of times in our flesh, we don't feel like pressing toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, our flesh doesn't feel like that. And a lot of times what we do, we kind of have to do by faith. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word, and the Spirit of God helps us in it. But in our flesh, you know, ultimately what it is, it's a discipline. And it's going to require us keeping under our body and keeping our flesh in subjection to what God wants to do in us. And so, do you have goals? If not, you ought to set goals and then do what you can to reach those goals for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with the Word. Lord, I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that you bless us, and that you would help us, Lord, to have biblical goals, and Lord, that you would help us to do as Paul, Lord, to press toward the mark. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a mark, Lord. Help us to have things in our heart and our mind, Lord, that you want us to pursue after, Lord, that we would be the men and women, that we would be the church that you would have us to be. Lord, I ask that you'd bless now, Lord, in the remainder of the service, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.